Well, good morning. Good morning. Hey, good morning to everybody watching down at Mullaloo. Can we get a big clap for everybody in Mullaloo? Everybody everywhere, for everybody online. I love just taking a moment and realizing that we, as one common church, group of people gathered together, different locations online, but all moving in the same direction. So welcome. If it is your first time at True North watching online, my name is Dean. It is great to have you here. And so we just want to welcome you and let you know, if you're new to church and new to this whole thing, feels different to you, please know this. Just sit back, relax, just take it all in, and feel no pressure to be part of anything. But what I do want to say as well is that special welcome to everybody who's a part of the tribe and the family at True North. And we are going to dive back in to our series on Malachi. And so we started a little while back looking through this book of Malachi. And who's been missing Malachi? Like, we kind of got to know him, and then we left. Hey, I'm glad a couple. Some of you are like, what were we doing? I barely remember what I had for breakfast. Anyway, so we are going to dive back in, or, you know, if you've entirely forgotten it, for the first time into the book of Malachi. And so this is, it's a book that's all about, it's so great that if you're part of a community of faith, a local church, as we are, it's a book in the Hebrew scriptures, where Malachi, his prophet, comes, and he's speaking to the people of God, and God sends a message of what we call worship renewal. And in fact, turn to the person next to you and say, worship renewal. Worship renewal. Just get it familiar with you. Because worship renewal is about what happens when, and what was happening in the book of Malachi was people were still going through the motions. We've talked about that. They were still doing kind of what they were meant to as they gathered for worship. In one level, they were going through motions, but they had lost the heart of what worship was about. And that was leading them to kind of start just, you know, a little bit of adventures and missing the point. And I want to read to you a few verses that we're gonna go to Malachi chapter 3. And this is a bit of how they were starting to experience worship. They said, God is speaking to them. And as he does throughout Malachi, he kind of says, hey, this is what you're saying. And they're like, wait, when did we do that? We didn't realize this. And he says, and this is how it goes. He says, you have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? God, we didn't mean to say anything against you. What have we done? He says, you have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. They had come to a point where they felt like worship was futile. This is kind of pointless. Why are we still doing this? It seems like everybody else out there who doesn't kind of worship God the way he's called us to, they seem to be going better than we are. And they just felt like, what's the point? And I want to pray. And we're going to pray that God could speak to you. You may not have felt that. I hope you didn't feel coming in. What's the point? But probably most people at some point in their experience of following God may experience a moment of saying, what is the point of gathering for worship? In fact, I bet if we had people raise their hands and say, how many people, you're here this morning, but how many people know someone in your life who at one point used to gather with God's people for worship, but in the last 2, 3, 5 years, even 10 years, at some point they said, it's not that I don't believe in God, it's not that I'm against Jesus, but I just don't do that, I don't need that, it's just not for me anymore. I bet there'd be, in fact, how many people could relate to that, that you'd know someone in your life? Just show of hands real quick. So this is what we know. This is a common experience that people at some point, again, it's not that they just reject God, but at some point they start to say, that's not for me, or I'm not sure there's a point to it, or I don't get it anymore. And likewise, what we see in the book of Malachi is that God wants to renew our worship for all of us. The nature, why renewal is such a big idea in the scriptures, is because things are always tending to go a little bit off course. We all tend to get a little bit distracted. We all tend to get a little bit how many people know the first law of thermodynamics? Who didn't know? They were coming to a science test. I'm not sure if it is or not, but we're going to say the first law of thermodynamics is that things tend toward disorder. Maybe it's the third law. I don't know. It's really just something I wanted to say. But we know this. I had a science teacher one time in my life who said things tend toward disorder. And we all know it's true, right? Entropy is a law. Things tend. So we need to constantly be brought back to what is the clear and true meaning, understanding, and practice of what things are. And so let's pray that God might, in our lives, those of us who have gathered here today, I really want to pray because I believe and hope and dream and really believe that God wants to renew our worship. I believe God wants to renew worship in our day to bring us back to the heart and the core of what it is about. Does that sound good to anybody? Let's pray. You just bow with me for a moment. Open your own heart to the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, in this moment, as we prepare to dive into your scriptures, as we think about these words we have read already, I pray that in Jesus' name, you would speak to us. I pray that we would not just hear nice ideas today, but I pray, Lord, that that which you have purposed would be carried out in and amongst your people. And I pray that it would be for no other reason or purpose or end than for your glory. Lord, there are things you have purposed for our lives as you created us, and I pray we would step more fully into those things, into understanding what it is to be a worshiper of who you are. So come, Holy Spirit, and create in us, form in us, renew in us who you would call this community of worshipers to be. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to picture something in your mind. Real quickly, close your eyes, and I want you to picture for me a dog, okay? Everybody's eyes closed. Picture a dog in your mind. You got the dog. Can you see it? Do you know the colors, maybe the breed? Maybe you don't know the breed. You're not good with the breeds, but you've got it in your mind. You can see it. All right. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and describe your dog. Tell them as much as you can. If you're online, talk to somebody, anybody nearby. Tell somebody about the dog you pictured. Judging by the level of conversation in this room, we are a dog people church. People seem to love their dogs, talking with great joy and enthusiasm about their dogs. All right. Has everybody described their dog to the person next to them? Now, just curious, how many people described exactly the same dog? Just a couple, probably people in the same home with the same dog. So we got, how many people, the person next to you had a different picture of a dog than what you had? You know, so here we've got some people who maybe have the same dog, they've described the same dog, but here's the funny thing. If you and I picture a dog, we probably all picture a different dog, unless you live in the same home and you got the same dog. There's some things I'd like to tell you about my dog. I think he's going crazy. Anyway, but that's how I picture him right now, you know. But do you know this? What's challenging about renewing worship or even having a conversation about worship is a dog is a pretty straightforward creature, if you will. And worship, if now I said, tell me what you think of when you think of worship, and if you told somebody next to you, we will get really similar. A few people's will be similar or common or match, but by and large, we will probably have a lot of different pictures of what worship is. Are we agreed on that? And so one of the challenges to saying, how do we renew worship is, it's a great challenge because we often have in mind based on our experience. So we describe our dog probably based on our experience. What dog did I have, had as a kid, all those things, or saw at a bus stop? Yes, you know, based on our experience, we sort of take on certain things. Then we all picture different things, and then we can have a conversation. I could be saying up here, we want to talk about renewing worship, and amongst everybody here, everyone goes, okay, great, I know exactly what you mean. And we all think something entirely different. This is one of the challenges of languages. Do you know in the Hebrew, there are, I believe it's more than 20, I think it's about 22 different words get translated into English as worship. 22 different words. In the Greek New Testament, there are 15 different words which get translated into the word worship in English. So there are so many dimensions to what this word means. And the English language is sometimes a little bit tricky, isn't it? Like, we use one word and it means so many different things. Like, can I tell you guys, I love my wife. I love my children. I love Taco Bell. I'm sorry, I do. I know a lot of people, it's controversial. I love it, okay? We love all these, I love the beach. Who loves winter? Who loves winter? Like, if I love winter and I love my children, like, what does this word even mean, right? This is English, it's so tricky. So we actually have to sometimes, part of renewal is going, wait a second, what do we mean when we say worship? Because it comes through so many different. Can I tell you this? If we said to describe worship, I bet for many people, if you had to describe your picture, it might look like this. How many people maybe it would look like this? Do you know, in fact, if you did a Google search on the word worship, go to the next page real quick. This is the dominant, so if Google represents collective human consciousness at the moment, this is one of the predominant images when people think of worship. Now go back to that other slide. This is a Coldplay concert. So just want to let you know that. And hence, we come to one of the great challenges of worship renewal and getting to the heart of what it is. There's nothing wrong with that we think of this, but when things look similar, sometimes it's easy to mistake one thing for another thing, and we can end up kind of confusing. And because our minds, this is the way our minds work, if you notice, they group things that look similar into common categories, and sometimes we then go, oh, I've done something, I've seen something like this, so it all goes into a category together. At its essence, that's what a stereotype is. I've seen one thing, so I assume every other thing that looks similar is like it. We have a great challenge today because sometimes our experience of worship, it looks like something, and that can end up influencing our practice. You know, a concert. We go for the experience. We go for the excitement of being in the crowd. We go because, man, they're going to sing the songs I want to hear. We go because of all these things, and we might even get a bit of a rush that we think, man, that's what I want. But the hard thing is sometimes then that bleeds into, do you know what worship's about? I want to go. I want to hear the songs I love to hear. I'll sing along with the ones I even know, and hopefully I'll get that kind of rush and experience. Can I tell you something? Worship in a concert look a little bit similar because worship tends to come out in cultural forms that reflect the time and the day and the era that they come in and all. But that confusion creates some real challenges in our worship. Because whilst we will come and we will sing along with songs, while there may be times or moments that there's quite a powerful experience that's had, that is not what worship is about. Do you know, for some people, worship, if I said describe it, you'd describe a picture like this. You just go, man, you know what? When you say worship, I'm sorry, but I know it's just one of those things. I have to do it. I'm supposed to do it. Deep down, I know it's good for me, but it's just painful, and I'm just kind of sitting there waiting till it's done. It feels like going to the dentist. I remember years and years and years ago, I talked to someone. They hadn't been to church in a long time, and they said to me, when I see you, I feel like I'm seeing the dentist, and they're just going to tell me, I know you should come more often. I'm like, I know I should, but I don't. And I was like, I just wanted to say good morning, you know, just but this is how some people, they think about worship. It's like, oh, I know I should. It's not really that pleasant. And if you could just maybe put a TV up over me until it's over, that'd be great. And that's what worship feels like. Nobody ever wants to admit that one. But anyway, some people, it feels a bit like this. This is kind of the mindset. You know what? We're gathered with this great throng of people. And we're watching. We're watching, you know, the action. But the action's down on the field. And yeah, there's Dean, and he's doing that thing where he talks and preaches, and that's his thing. And I get behind him. Dean, that's great, and I love what you're doing. And there's a music team up here, and I love it. They are amazing. And so you kind of, the experience of being a worshiper ends up becoming a lot more like the experience of being a fan. Like, I think this is great. I'm all for it. And I'm happy to be here watching the whole thing go on. That's not worship. The last one that we will look at here is some people imagine worship should be a bit like a great TED Talk. And because it looks a little bit similar, because I'm standing here maybe for points in a morning with a microphone and speaking, people think, you know what, the music's fine. You can keep your Coldplay, you know, imagery. But I come because I want to hear a message that could speak into my life and where I'm at, like a great TED Talk. It'll grab my attention. It will leave me feeling, you know, equipped to be able to go and live my life differently and pursue something like that. And we end up thinking, this is, you know, what worship is about. This is what going to church is about. It's about, you know, kind of hearing something great. This is what we'll call the education kind of imagery for what worship is. I want to learn something. Now, if we think back over these, is there a reality that in worship there at times will be a very powerful experience? Sure, but it's not the essence of worship. Is it true that in worship at times we may not feel like going, and yet it may do something good for us? That's true. Still not the essence of worship. If we think that, you know, worship is a place where when I go to church, I'm celebrating the good things that are going on. I'm a fan. There's something true about that. That's why these images get all jumbled sometimes in our minds if we don't stop and sift them out, because there's something true and good about it. Yes, we're here to celebrate something and to get excited and for something, but that's not what it's actually all about. And is it true that you hopefully at times will feel like there was a word spoken that I learned something, I grew in some way, my life was adjusted? So hopefully, but that is not the essence of what worship is about. And why do I raise all these pictures? Because if we gravitate, many of us will gravitate towards one or the other of these pictures. But at some point, if this is what we think worship is about, we will end up like the people in Malachi saying, it is futile to serve God. That word serve God there is the same word that also gets translated in some translations, worship. If you hear last week, Sid spoke about this word, abad, this Hebrew word that means worship and serve and has different contexts. And this context is being used in a formal worship kind of way of carrying out God's commands. So what happens in worship renewal is that we stop and say, God, will you help me to figure out where sometimes my images of what worship is? Because we can say the right things. This is why we're using a lot of pictures today. Do you know, as humans, we often can say one thing, but we picture something totally different. And it's not that we're being hypocritical. It's just kind of how we work. And we're going to stop and say, God, would you help me to get some pictures within me of what worship is about so that I can align with what worship is all about? Does that sound good? Do you want to know one of the core things that I think we sometimes miss? And so as we look at Malachi, we've been looking in the book of Malachi. We've been looking at how God had invited his people to meet with them. We've been looking at how they started to kind of go off track, and it was becoming burdensome, and they think it's all futile. And what they're finding futile is what we'll call the formal gathering, the different practices that were part of worship according to God's prescription, according to his directions that were his directions for his people at that point in time in the story of his redeeming of all things. So they're going, we just don't want to do it that way. And God is having to take them back to the core of it. And do you want to know what one of the core pictures of what worship is about that we sometimes miss? Because we can end up, let me back up for just one moment. I mentioned to you, there's these, you know, 22 different Hebrew words, 15 different Greek words. I say all that to say there are so many different ways we can use the word worship. We can and should and absolutely must lean into the reality of all of life can be lived as worship. that everything we do, we have the opportunity to direct it to God. Our work can be worship. Our key relationships can be a space of worship. Our recreation can be a place of worship. Our time in God's creation, walking, having a great walk in nature with someone you love can be worship. But it is worship in a sense of what it is to have the whole of life be worship, but there are more specific uses of worship that we must align with. And the uses of worship, say in the time of Malachi, are about what we will call the meeting between God and his people. As good 21st century Western people and West Australians, we tend to be more individualistic, so we tend to gravitate towards expressions of worship that may be more individualistic. But in the scriptures, what we're going to call embodied, let me hear you say embodied. Embodied means made real, means made, you know, you can touch it, it becomes real. Embodied, gathered worship is about this. It is about a meeting between God and his people at God's invitation. Okay, this is what worship is at its core. It's about this meeting. And that meeting is at God's invitation. God has created human beings to be worshipers. It's at the very core of what we are created to do. That's why everything we can do can be done to the glory of God as worship of God. And then within God's design for people, God desires and invites his people to meet with him. We meet with him, I hope, if you're a worshiper of God, I hope you meet with God as an individual or within your family and your home daily. But he invites his body to gather. The whole word church means gathering or called out ones who gather. God invites us to meet together to worship. And when we worship, it is so key to realize that it's actually at his invitation. At the beginning of the book of Malachi, we saw he says, I have loved you. The whole thing is about how have you responded to my love. Worship is about our response. Let me hear you say response to God's love. Response to his invitation. And that meeting is what happens when we say, God, we want to meet with you as your people. Understanding you are going to be present in a unique way, Jesus said, where two or more gathered, there I am with them. The whole of the scriptures teaches God is always present. Why would Jesus say it? Because there's something unique that happens when we gather together about how God's presence becomes manifest amongst us. So worship is a meeting between God and his people at his invitation according to how he wants to do things. One of the great challenges of our time in history and our culture is we are, as I mentioned, extremely individualistic, which means we usually approach things from how do I want it? How do I like it? We go through, you know, like life has become more and more about customization and how do you have things the way you want them, and our algorithms feed us things right the way we want them. And you can go to the restaurant, you can go to Subway and just go, here's exactly how I want my sandwich. I'll spare you my favorite order. Anyway, like everywhere we go, we customize, right? And the great danger is we start to think of worship as something that's like, I got to find what I want, instead of realizing in worship, this is the place in life we go, hold up, wait, it's not about me. The essence of worship is it's about God. Worship's not about, I want to have a certain experience. You might. Guess what? Worship's not about you. Might be a little bit painful. You might not really enjoy it at times. Guess what? Worship's not about you. You might get excited and really love it and get, I'm for it, I'm a fan, I'm with this. Great, but it's actually not about you and how you're feeling in the moment. And you might feel like, I hope I learned something. I hope Dean put a little more time and effort in this week. It's not about what we walk away with. Worship is about meeting with God, His invitation in His ways. I want to give you three new pictures that may help to just frame what worship is all about. When we gather like this, in going, I'm participating with the body of Christ, I'm gathering, here is what it's about. The first picture that I want to give you is this one. And it's just the picture of a meeting at the table. We've been invited to God's table. There's a reason we have the bread and the cup in our rooms when we gather. We are reminded we've been invited here by God, who has made provision for our gracious salvation and forgiveness and cleansing and hope and a future. And it was never about us. It's what Jesus did. And we're invited to meet with God and to meet with His people. This is what is sometimes, I'm going to call this the word actualization. Okay, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, actualization. Say it three times in a row, fast. Actualization, actualization, actualization. And now it starts to not even feel like a word, right? But here's what that word means. It makes it real. Do you know in 1 Peter 2:9, it says this, that this is who we are. You are a kingdom of priests. You're a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation. Who? You, church. God's special possession. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are special. Come on. If you're next to your mom, that way, you know, felt so familiar, right? You are special. You are God's special possession. That, here's why. That, in order to, not for no reason, not just, but so that. This is what you were created for, and this is what the church is formed for, so you may declare. Let me say declare wherever you are. Declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His glorious light. We didn't just get redeemed by Christ to just go have yourself a great life, but so that we could become His chosen people, a royal priesthood, a special nation, a gathering of people together so that we could declare His praises. The one who called us out of darkness and into His glorious light. In response to what He's done, this is what we do. And so we as a people, we could say we're a chosen people and a royal priesthood, and we could say we're a collective people, but if we never get together and declare those praises, guess what? It's never actually real. That's why it's called actualization. This is a theological term for what the gathering of God's people in the church for worship is about. It makes it real. We get to say, if I say to my friend, no, there is a people, and they are cuts across generations and cultures, and it's a place where you will find, you will experience love and goodness and peace and joy, and if I don't have a place to bring them, I can say it's real all I want, but where is this people? Are they real? You know, imagine you're dating someone if you are in the stage of life where you're hoping to maybe get married or something's progressing and it's serious. And you live, as I did when I was first dating Lisa, we live far away from our families. I could tell Lisa, you know, hey, I have a family. I've got parents and my mom thinks I'm special. And I got a sister and a brother and we have a house and a dog and all those things. And I can tell her all about it. But there comes a point where, you know, it's like the only way you'll know if I'm, you know, being legit. I mean, hopefully I didn't seem like a sneaky person. But the only way you know, like at some point you're like, no, I want you to meet my family. I want them to be real to you. I want you to feel what it's like to be in my house and sit at the table. Do you know when you're part of a family? How many people have ever had a family reunion? A family reunion. Who's having one? You know, I love that photo. It's Christmas. It's the holidays. It's a family who's going, we're back together. It's true. They've been a family all year long. But when you get together, it becomes real again. It becomes real again. Isn't that awesome? Turn to the person next to you, or if you're online, put it in the comments and say, I'm actually glad you're here. Okay? I'm actually, that's that. This is actualization. All right. I got a second picture for you. This one's so huge. We missed this. This is a great picture of what we do when we gather for worship. Do you know there's a big difference? See, the problem with thinking we're all fans and spectators and sitting in a footy stadium, we live in an era and a time in history where so many situations put us in the place of passive consumer and spectator. And so then we end up applying that picture to what happens just because we are gathered in this kind of arena. There's particular reasons we are, but if you apply the spectator, you begin to think church is just another place where I watch something that's going on. Can you imagine going to the gym and being like, I just like to go. I just like to watch. It's fun. I keep watching all those people working out, exercising. It seems to be working for them. I'm not interested in doing it myself, but, you know, but I keep going, you know. Hey, how's things going? You been going to the gym? Yeah. 3 times a week, you know, not looking very fit, you know, like, I don't want to say anything. Tell me about your experience. What do you do when you go to gym? Well, I just kind of sit there. Yeah, I see everybody around. There's a lot of people around me. They keep lifting their arms with these heavy dumbbells, and I'm like, geez, you know, they're lifting the hands, and I like watching. Yeah, it's good. I'm a big fan of the gym, you know. It would be the most bizarre thing in the world, right? But it's really tempting because, again, our pictures get all confused in our head, and we're like, oh, this thing is a bit like that Coldplay concert, right? And I come, and yeah, it's good, and I can just kind of watch. I soak it all up, and if we do not be careful, this is why worship needs renewed. We slip into going, this is one more arena where I'm a spectator, and it's not. I'm up here speaking, and I believe very strongly in the idea that God calls people. I feel called to this. I don't do this because I hope to give you some nice ideas. And I take seriously the study of God's word. I think we have to really take seriously God's word and engaging with it at deep levels. And God says, we've got many people on our team who God has called and positioned and equipped. And we have guests who come in and share with us. So the point of someone speaking up here is not so that someone else sits and listens, but a genuine belief. I genuinely believe, like, we don't worship in music and then we come to the word, that God, when we bring alive his word as he's wanting to speak it, you don't just learn something. Something happens if you'll engage with that. If you will listen with one ear going, what is the person up there saying? And with one ear saying, God, what are you saying? That's the way we engage here. If in worship, when we're singing music in worship, what happens if you will begin, and I know some people in the 21st century, different eras have been different. We are probably the more uncomfortable with singing and public singing. Like, how many people, quick show of hands, grew up in an environment where public singing was just normative? Raise your hand real quick. A lot of people, the further back, you know, that came out wrong. But there were times when it's just so normal. Now, the younger you are, the less likely you are to be in situations apart from church and a karaoke bar. Those are the only two places people are sort of used to, hey, we all sing. In the church, do you know that I think one of Satan's great tools is just the total creation of a consumer culture? Because the more we're comfortable with, you know, people used to learn to play musical instruments. Not people, I tried to learn to play a musical instrument. It was not a gift and a talent. But to be fair, if I just invested more time, I probably could have. But it's easier for me to push play on a playlist than to learn to sit, and this is what happens. We live in a world that does it all for us. You don't have to learn. Imagine, take yourself back 150 years ago. If you wanted music, how did you get music? You did it yourself. You know, there's no, like, click play. Human beings were fully engaged in every area of life. And people probably sang around the table and around the house. I don't know. I wasn't there. But here's my point. People will come to a worship service and either go, I'm a fan of what's happening. They're good. I'll watch and even listen and enjoy a bit. But worship is about, no, I go through it. I do it. And some days, I may not feel like it. Imagine if every person going to the gym was like, well, you know what? I only go if I feel like it. Because I find if I don't feel like it, it doesn't really matter. Like, you know, like, you either did the workout or you didn't. If you felt like it, great. I've had some of those days. I went for a run yesterday. I felt like it. I was excited to run. If I only went on days I felt like it, I'd run twice a year. Right? So I go run on a lot of days I don't feel like running. And because I've run on those days, I've never once gone, you know, I didn't feel like it, and I bet I probably didn't get any benefit either. The benefit is irrespective of how I feel about it. And that's the way a gym is. No one goes to the gym just because, and now, do I believe, as I said, I believe on a lot of days you can go, most days. How many people, if you've been a part of a church for a while, know this? Every time, maybe you have a home group that meets in your home, a connect group. Maybe it's about coming to Sunday. How many people have ever had the feeling of going, I really don't feel like it today? You go and you walk away, you're like, I'm so glad I went today. How many people, show of hands, have ever felt that? Like, it's just the default setting of what it is to worship. But if we come and we begin to see, you know what I think of as worship? It's the gym. I'm going to do my workout. I'm going to sing every song, because do you know what all the songs do? They do what we're going to talk about next. Oh, actually, no, as part of this, you know what the songs do? They teach you. Some of you will struggle to keep focused on what I'm doing, so hopefully you can stay focused on what God's saying to you. But do you know in music, all of us, the more we sing it, the more it gets in our head? And do you know what? Every song we sing, we declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his glorious light. And we continually rehearse the story of who God is and what he's done. And so that becomes the story we start to live in. That becomes the story that starts to shape us. But if we just sit back and let someone else do that, we don't re-story ourselves. We don't rehearse the good news. We don't once again step into and participate in declaring the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his glorious light. So when we gather for worship, please know this. We are not here hoping we have just a great experience and feel the good vibes. And man, there's some days the presence of God is manifest in profound ways. And oh, I celebrate every one of those. I'm grateful in my life. I tend to find most weeks God whispers or nudges or does something in my life, and I'm so thankful for every small thing. But on the weeks he doesn't, I try to make it God, I want to just be in your presence and declare your praises. That's what worship's about. God, if you've already given everything, you don't got to give me more. That's what worship's about. But we got to come and say, I'm not here to watch. I'm not here to spectate. I feel awkward. I may started a new gym workout and never felt awkward, like everybody's staring at you. But the more you do it, the more you realize I can be home in this place. And just bring ourselves in worship. Last picture. Can we do one more picture? Because four of you said yes, we will. This is the last picture. Who knows what these are? I love to talk about this for you. Yeah, they're the ice cream taster spoons. Okay? Do you know, this is what theologians call the worship. It is a foretaste of what is to come. And the little ice cream spoon, when you go to the ice cream shop of your choice, the gelato, perhaps, if it's a really good day, and you go, what do I want here? What do I want more of? Let me try that. And you get the little tiny taste, and then you find one you like, and you go, I'll have that. And worship, do you know that worship was God created us to worship? The book of Revelation says, here's the future picture we look forward to. There's going to be a great tribe and a throng of people from every tongue and nation and tribe. It's going to be too big and numerous to count. It's going to be too big and numerous to count. And all those people, they just keep crying out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And they celebrate and they worship. And we're told that in heaven, this kind of worship is going on all the time. And the next couple of verses, it talks about how there's these angels that were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they just fell down on their faces before the throne, worship God and saying, amen. Praise, glory, wisdom, thanks, and honor be to our God forever and ever. Worship is happening all the time before the throne of God. And when we gather, we aren't just coming to something. We're joining something. This is what it is to meet with God. This is the taste of what is to come. And please hear me, because it gets missed. Because we use worship like this, then sometimes people, and I felt like this when I was younger, like I was scared of heaven because I didn't want to be singing all the time. I'm not naturally, like I just love to sing and all those things. And I was like, God, if that's, I'm just a little bit nervous. You know, when I was a 13-year-old kid, you tell me I'm going to be in church forever? And keep in mind, this was church in the 1990s. We're going to be flipping those overheads for the next million years. Like, don't want to get rostered for that one, you know? Man, I believe worship then will be a bit like now, that our eternal lives in God will be this extraordinary mix. It's the new heavens and the new earth, and it will be this extraordinary mix of this kind of worship where we meet before our God to declare his praises and to bow down before him, and also creative human activity. That's a whole nother series, so we won't start on it now. But worship is what it's all about. That's what we're going to be doing, because we were actually created to worship. It's what we're made for. It's what we're created to do. It's the future. It's where we're going. And I want to invite you right now just to stand up wherever you are, down to Malalu here in the room at Marowa. And my hope, you know, my dream for our tiny speck of, you know, we're such a tiny, you know, we can't even describe how tiny we are in the big picture of God's story across time, history, and the world, right? But we are one of those glorious, as every church is, we are one of those glorious little links in the chain, one of those dots of color in the painting. We might be just a dot, but the painting is so glorious. And so within our community of believers at True North, if God has placed you here, could we make this just a time in history? God's doing different things all the time, but I think this is one of those times he's calling his people back to worship. To be reminded, no, this is what it's about. To become people who step in going, you know what? I'm not just going, hey, oh man, I hope it's good vibes. I hope it's the songs that I love today. We're not just, you know, we're going, no, I'm going to do what I was created to do. You know what's great about going to the gym? If you like to go to the gym or run or anything physical activity, like God gave us bodies to use in whatever capacity he's given to us. And when we go to worship, it's like, I'm going to do what I was created to do. I'm going to the spiritual gym today. I'm going to get my spiritual heart fit. I'm going to go into this place and I'm going to be reminded that this is a meeting with God. I'm meeting with him. He's invited us to the table. He's welcomed us in. I'm going to declare the praises of him who called me out of darkness and into his glorious light. I'm going to be reminded that, oh, that's what God has done for me. I'm going to join in the worship that is taking place before his throne now and that will go on and on. I'm going to be reminded on difficult days, I'm going to be reminded that this moment is not all there is. There is a glorious future ahead of me. Man, I don't know about you, but I need that once in a while. In fact, I need it about once a week to gather and go, God, remind me of your story. Because I've been hearing all kinds of other stories. This is what worship is about. And I want to encourage you, if you are a part of True North, that the way we come in and the way we will not become people who say, you know what, it's all futile, is if we think about worship not on our terms, but on God's terms. I'm coming to meet with him. I'm coming to make this real. The people up here on this stage, so all these people who are just really good-looking people, to be fair. God made them beautiful. And you too. You're all good-looking. I can't see you through the internet, but I believe it. Believe it. These people are not doing a concert. You're the choir, they're the conductor. We're all in it together. And that's why we get so confused, because it looks a little bit like a Coldplay concert. It's not. But what we need, and the reason there is people God calls into leadership positions like this, is so that we can get on the same page. One of the hardest things to do in worship. Because if we got 300 different images in our minds, we need something. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to join our voices around the same idea. We're going to join our hearts. We're going to welcome the presence of God together. We're going to meet with him around the table. Do you know, we're going to, in the next few moments, we're going to lift our voices to God in worship. Can I encourage you, don't be a spectator. Declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his glorious light. We're going to come meet at the table where we are reminded, we say, this is a table of celebration. It's a table of times of repentance. It's a table where we examine our lives and say, Lord, would you in your loving, gracious, tender mercy help me to see where I've gotten off track so that I can confess my sins and be cleansed and walk freely. It's a place where we come and we just at times go, thank you, Lord, thank you for all you've done, and we celebrate it. Do you know what else? It's a time, I believe, it's a time and a place for healing. Do you know why we pray around the gathering around the table? Because we believe we are not just in a room, but that the presence of God and the risen Jesus Christ, who is risen with healing in his wings, is in our midst. And so we have prayer teams. And if you want prayer, physical, emotional, spiritual, any challenge, difficulty you're going to, there's something beautiful about having other believers go, we're going to pray with you because God is here and we're two or more gathered. He's uniquely present. This is what worship is about. We bring an offering. If you're a person who brings an offering, not because I was obligated, or I bet I should, or maybe if I do, God will do this, but because, no, God, thank you that you called me out of darkness and into your glorious light. And I want to steward what you've put in my hands. My life is not my own, it's yours. I want to steward. This is how we worship. We'll even in a little bit later walk out of this room and we'll hopefully have coffee with one another. If you're English, you'll have tea. All tribes, tongues, and nations are welcome here. Bye. But in those interactions, we will recognize that this is not just a club, and these are not just some people, but we are the body of Christ, and I hope and I pray we will learn one another's names and stories and encourage one another, and you might have a word for somebody today. Can I tell you as well, if you want prayer, you don't need to go to people standing on a side. Turn to a person next to you and say, hey, my brother or my sister, could you just pray for me? That's the body of Christ. This is worship. God is present in our midst, and we declare his praises, recognize his goodness, and we will walk out of here recalibrated, refreshed, restored to go live. Worship's such a tiny part of our week. Some people think, oh, it's just an hour a week. How big? Don't judge the value of something by the size of something. Worship is such a small thing, but there's a reason so much of the scriptures are about God renewing the worship of his people when we gather here so that we can worship there. Oh, worship. If you want to be a part of this prayer, I want to just pray for God to pour out a fresh spirit of worship. And if you want to be part of it, I invite you just to open your hands. In fact, maybe if there are images that you resonated with that you know are not actually God's image for what worship's about, maybe just confess those to him. Do you know, I have to confess, God, I'm looking for something in worship that's not what you created it to be. Would you please forgive me that I'm bringing my expectation and my hope to it. Can I encourage you? It's one of the freeing things you can do. Just if there are things that you need to bring to him and say, Lord, please forgive me of the approach I've taken or the attitude I've had. I'm going to pray for a fresh just pouring out of his spirit to open our eyes to grasp the gloriousness of what Christ has done. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you dwell in perfect light. Your love is so great for each one of us and for every person who doesn't yet have the beautiful privilege of knowing the name of Jesus. Lord, we as your people in this moment, we stand to say, Lord Jesus, would you pour out your spirit amongst us to open our eyes to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To help us to know this love that goes beyond knowledge. Would you pour out your spirit to enlighten our eyes to the joys and goodness of the gospel. Would you refresh our hearts and minds around the story of what you are doing? May we find our place in this great, beautiful, glorious story that you are writing. Lord, I pray that today we will worship you. And I pray that it will so shape and form us that every day we will worship you. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to worship. We are going to lift our voices. We are going to meet with Jesus at the table. If you want prayer, you can just make your way to the sides. People would love to pray with you. But we are going to spend time worshiping. Let's meet with him.